What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. So I guess we now know that question that people have asked themselves since World War II, which is whether or not you would be one of the families or an individual who would hide Jewish people in your house. We now know. Apparently, it's a very large portion of Palestinians. Yeah, I did not see that coming. Kyle Scheidler, who is, let me see here, get his official title. He is the Director for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism at Secure Freedom, formerly of the Claremont Institute. And he says, we have gone from the left wing, the leftists, insisting that I would hide Jews in my attic, to the left insisting that I would hide Jews in my attic. Yeah, I was not aware. So many people, I always thought, like, my default has always been, we like to tell ourselves that we would be the kinds of people that would protect, you know, fleeing oppressed populations in our own home country, that we would hide Jewish people in our attics, even though it meant that we would also be put to death if discovered. And I always thought a lot of people tell themselves that they would be some of those people to do so, but they actually wouldn't. And I point to, well, Germany, you know, and how few people actually did that sort of thing. But apparently, in Gaza, a lot of people hide Jews in their homes. And apparently in the UN-run schools, right, where they've been teaching the children from you know, kindergarten onward how to kill the Jews and such. I'm kind of curious as to how that works. But they've been, you know, telling kids for a couple generations, here's how you do your room clearing. Here's how you engage in your martyrdom operations and such. But if we have some Jews, then we hide them. And I have been reliably informed by people who are very much on the Palestinian side and the Hamas side in this war. They've been pointing out, look at how well-fed the hostages are, which kind of runs counter to the whole thing about everybody starving in Gaza, which has not happened yet, but I am told it's going to happen within moments or days or something. I've been told that for the better part of half a year, but it's going to happen. People are going to run out of food, except apparently the families that are hiding the Jews. USA Today has a story by John Bacon. Bacon. Headline, one day after dramatic hostage rescue, Israeli War Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz resigns. So that's, okay, so I mean, look, this is a way that you advance the story, because over the weekend, there was a lot of celebration. A lot of people were very happy that Israel, I think this was the third hostage rescue operation that they have engaged in. Third successful one, and they did indeed liberate four hostages, four Jews that had been kidnapped from a rock concert or a techno concert or whatever kind of music they play at what they were playing at the Nova Festival. And the story starts off thusly. Militant held Israeli hostages were among the more than 200 people killed in the raid that freed four captives and has been lauded as heroic in Israel, but described as a massacre across much of the Middle East, comma, Hamas officials said Sunday. So there's your, right there, they stick that at the end of the, and I'm not saying this is a bias, this is the way people are taught to write in journalism school, is that you lead with the most important information first, and then you tack on at the end who says it, because you want the reader to read that sentence and understand where the sentence is going. And then, of course, credit a discredited terrorist organization for that information that has now been relayed to you. So militant held Israeli hostages. Militant held. So I'm confused because I saw some of the people who are very upset at the freeing of the hostages. They're very upset that a lot of Palestinian people were killed. I think the total number is that, well, Hamas is saying more than 200 people. And I think they're out of the 200 people that were killed, I think 7,000 of them were women and children, as I understand it. No, I don't believe the numbers from Hamas. That's the point. Yeah. So militant held Israeli hostages. Odd, because the stories that we saw coming out of Gaza and Hamas was that it was a journalist and a doctor who were killed. It was they were a couple. And I think the journalist's father as well, his dad also was killed among a whole bunch of other people because as the Israelis attempted to get the hostages out of these apartment buildings where they were being held by families and fed very well fed in starvation conditions, somehow or another, the food got to the hostage taking families. Now, I'm not sure if that was part of the deal where it's like, look, you can get some of the aid if you hide these Jews from us, or not really from us, actually. But if you keep them prisoner in your home, then we'll make sure you get food. Maybe that's how that happened. I don't know. But I find it interesting that they're calling them all militants. So was the journalist and the doctor, were they militants? Because it says militant held Israeli hostages were killed. Now, here's the thing about information that comes from Hamas. They lie. It's a terrorist organization. They lie. They commit atrocities. They use innocent people as meat shields. So you really can't trust them so much on their reports like on this stuff. So we don't know if the hostages were killed. We don't know that. There may have been some hostages that were killed in the rescue effort. It's a dangerous mission. They did it in broad daylight on a Saturday afternoon. Oh, and I'm also supposed to be outraged that they drove in undercover. So as I understand it, if you're the Israelis, you're not allowed to go rescue the hostages in your military machines, right? You can't roll in with tanks and stuff like that because that's obviously inciting them and it's, you know, oppressive and all of that. But you cannot go into undercover either in civilian vehicles. So I'm not really sure how you're supposed to go in and get the hostages. And I think that actually might be the point here. I know I sound pretty cynical when I say it like that, but it almost seems like people are really upset that the hostages got rescued. Not all people, but certain people. And here's the thing, guys. If you're sad that the hostages got freed, you're the baddie. Yeah, you're the bad guy in this story. And I understand people are always, you know, framing themselves and picturing themselves as the villain as the hero or the victim, never the villain. But in this case, if you are sad or mad that the Israelis freed some of their innocent hostages that were taken half a year ago, you're the bad guy in this story. You're the bad guy. All right, happy to clear that up for you. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I got to ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? So apparently, we are supposed to give credit to Hamas and the Palestinians who allowed themselves to be overtaken in the Israeli rescue operation to free the prisoners that they had taken, the hostages that they had taken, these innocent people that they had scooped up from the rock concert back on October 7th to use as bargaining chips. And all right, it may be some sex slavery, whatever, maybe some forced marriages and that kind of thing. But who among us? But I think that I've sensed a bit of a sentiment here on social media over the weekend from the pro-Hamas crowd that that they should be given credit for keeping the hostages alive, and then the Israelis taking the hostages back as sort of like proof that like it's not so bad. See, look, it wasn't so bad. They're back now with their families. Hey, look, we really need to focus on all of the people that the Israelis killed during the operation. When they went into, there were two different buildings, by the way, two different apartment buildings. They were very close by. And the Israeli forces that did the planning on this, they were like, we got to do them both at the same time because if we just go into one, the fear is if you do them one at a time, then the fear is that, you know, the peace-loving hostage takers will murder the hostages. They'll just kill them rather than give them up. So the Israelis planned this two-pronged rescue operation into two different buildings in what is called a refugee camp, the Nusirat. Nusrat, refugee camp. I think I'm pronouncing that right. First off, when you think of a refugee camp, you're probably conjuring up images in your mind of like a tent city kind of a thing, like the Tentifada we saw on the college campuses and stuff. Like that's kind of what, you know, maybe you're visualizing a refugee camp where people are like fleeing an area. And so then they're just like pitching tents and putting up shanties and that sort of thing. This is actually a city. All right. It's a city of about like 70,000 people. They got buildings there. They have streets and stuff. Because that's the political wing of Hamas, right? Remember, for years, we've been told that Hamas is just like this, the militant wing of Hamas. And they engage in all the terrorism. And, you know, that's different. That's separate and apart from the bureaucratic wing of Hamas, right? And the Palestinian Authority. Same deal. For some reason, they've set up their operation in much the same way. Unlike us, right, in America, where we don't have any kind of delineation between militant wings or the military and civilian or anything like that. No, no. When America does something, it's just Americans do something. When the Israelis do something, just the Israelis do something, right? When any other country, any other people, right, when they engage in any kind of barbarism or acts of war or violence or anything like that, it's just the whole country. It's never like a military wing of the society. But the Palestinians are different, okay? They get this bifurcation deal. They really are ahead of their time. The ability to have two separate things like that operating at the same time, and they never cross over. There's never any kind of cross-pollination of funds or anything like that. No, no, no. Funds are not fungible in Palestine. You see? They keep it all separate. No mixing of the or commingling of the funds. And that's why the bureaucracy side of Hamas, they're very good at building all of the roads and the buildings and such. Not so much bomb shelters. For some reason, they've invested all their money into tunnels, but well, maybe that's the military wing getting some money somehow. I can't figure that part out, but they've built a whole bunch of tunnels underneath, not for their citizens to avoid the bombing, that comes after they launch rockets and such into Israel, who, by the way, they have built bomb shelters because of the military wing of Hamas engaging in this kind of carnage. Militant held Israeli hostages, as the USA Today reporter John Bacon describes them, and quoting Hamas in that description. As Israel celebrated the hostage rescue, the government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was shaken by the resignation of War Cabinet Minister Benny Gantz, adding instability to Netanyahu's already fragile coalition. A spokesman for the Hamas Al-Qassam Brigades military wing, there it is right there, it's the military wing, Abu Abaida, Abu, he says that Saturday's raid was a complex war crime. This was a war crime because the Israelis used an undercover driver and truck in order to gain access into the area. So this is a really big development. I was unaware that Hamas knew that it's a war crime not to dress in uniforms when engaging in barbarism. I just thought they were ignorant of that. But apparently they do know this. They are aware. They're supposed to be in uniform or else they're in violation of Geneva Convention. Oh, that's right. The rules don't apply to them. Sorry. My bad. The rules don't apply to them. They can't afford the uniforms. It probably has to do with the bifurcation of the bureaucracy side and the military wing side of Hamas. They're probably just not getting enough money to buy the uniforms, what with them devoting all of the funds for their tunnels and such. It's a complex budget. What can I say? All right, so back to this USA Today story by John Bacon, who relies on Hamas to provide the death toll and the outcome of the operation in this Nusrat refugee camp, which is a city. It's a neighborhood. There are buildings, tall buildings and such. They freed, the Israelis say, and we've seen the video, so like I believe it to be true. That's just AI, Pete. You can't trust the Israelis. Noah Argamani, and she was the woman who was kidnapped from the Supernova Festival on October 7th, put on the back of a motorcycle, and driven away as she was, you know, crying and screaming and reaching out for her boyfriend who was being led away. He's still being held hostage. He was not freed, but she has been freed. Her mother dying of cancer. And she was just praying and hoping that she would get to see her daughter before she died. And so now that can happen. The other three were all men. Almog Mayor Jan, 21 years old. Andrei Kozlov, 27 years old. And I believe he was the one who is Russian, I want to say. And I saw the video when his mom came to see him at the hospital, and he basically collapsed to his knees weeping. And then the last hostage that was freed, Shlomi Ziv, 40 years old. They were all reportedly in good health and being reunited with their families. There is a fella here. This is Peter Lerner, the Israeli military spokesperson. He said that reports from Hamas, including the deaths of three hostages during the operation. He said that because it's Hamas, this should be taken with a pinch of salt, he said. The Hamas guy says, by committing horrific massacres, the enemy was able to free some of his prisoners. But at the same time, it killed some of them. The operation will pose a great danger to the remaining hostages and will have a negative impact on their conditions and lives. War crime. I know the Palestinians and the Hamas holes, they're very fond of accusing Israel of all of the war crimes. And so that would be war crimes, by the way, is mistreating your prisoners of war. If that's what you're calling them prisoners. And so if you are mistreating them, especially in retribution for a successful liberation operation, yeah, that's a war crime. Not to mention the fact that you don't wear the uniforms and you hide among civilians and use them as human shields in order to gain sympathy to apply political pressure on Israel to stop attacking you. So you are then freed up to keep attacking Jews. Neighboring Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon all condemned the massacre. And it seems like this is what prompted Benny Gantz to resign off of the unity government. And look, that's not good, right? That's not good news, because Benny Gantz, the popular former military leader, his presence and his agreement with the way the Israeli military has been prosecuting the war so far, that has been used as a piece of evidence, a good example as to the unified belief among Israelis on how to proceed and how they are conducting the war. So now he's calling on Netanyahu to set another election. This would be in the fall. Gantz resigned despite Netanyahu's social media post hours earlier, urging him, quote, not to leave the emergency government. Don't give up on unity. The move does not bring down the government, but removes the only centrist from Netanyahu's conservative coalition, far right. And again, this is USA Today, so I don't even know how they're defining that. National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir, and who is demanding Gantz's cabinet seat. The opposition leader, Yair Lapid, called for replacing the government to secure the return of the hostages and repair Israel's economy and restore Israel's international standing by converting everybody in Israel to Islam. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. No, he didn't say that last part. But that's really the only way you're going to restore Israel's international standing, because there's no way you can restore standing to the Muslim world unless you are also Muslim. Like, that's how that goes. So let me get Jerry on the program. Hello, Jerry. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Pete.
Hey.
Just something I wanted to point out that I saw many people in Israel and supporters of Israel and other people that I know that I follow that are Jewish. One of the things that was so amazing about the rescue is that those three men, because they are younger, they are able-bodied. I think one or two of them probably served in the IDF or are still members of the IDF. They likely would never have been released alive if they had not been rescued. And that is the fate of most of the other men, even the elderly men that are still being held, that you know we have to pray every day will not come to pass. But that was one of the other points that was made that was so amazing about it, is that they likely, if they had not been rescued, would never have been released alive.
Right. And now the pro-Hamas Holes crowd is saying, well, now there's no incentive for Hamas to keep the hostages alive, so Israel really messed up by rescuing their hostages, because now we're definitely going to have them, you know, murdered in captivity, which I think also is a war crime, as long as we're throwing that term around nowadays. There are no good options. A series of bad options.
No, there are good options. And the good option is for the people of Gaza to get information to the Israelis and the IDF about where the hostages are being held and who is holding them, and to help them rescue the rest of the hostages. There are good options. And the options are, if Hamas, you know, all the pro-ceasefire, we demand ceasefire. You know what you can do with your ceasefire, and I'm biting my tongue. You know me, Pisa.
Yeah.
You know I'm biting my tongue. If Hamas stopped fighting, they would have food. Their civilians would be safe. The people they say are, you know, they're protecting. Just release the hostages. Release them alive.
Right.
And give us back the dead bodies.
No, I said, what I said, there are no good options for the Israelis. Like, the approach they have to take, the approaches that they have are limited because Hamas is engaging the way they're engaging. Yes, it'd be nice if they could get the intel, but that's on the Palestinians to do. They are left at the mercy of Palestinians that are willing to help them. So, yeah, Palestinians may have some good options. Hamas may have some good options. But Israel, they're limited because they have to rely on the Palestinians and the Hamas holes to pick one of the good options. Does that make sense?
It does, but I've been crying since I saw the news Saturday morning, and I don't want to start to, you know, blubber on the radio again, but I have so much even more faith in the IDF after this that I know they're pursuing every option they can to get back as many as they can.
Sure.
My faith is restored and renewed. I shouldn't say restored. My faith is strengthened and renewed, and it was so amazing to see it. The one thing that has been upsetting me is that there haven't been any pictures of Noah and her mother, and there have been many discrepancies about whether her mother is still alive.
Oh,
I just pray that her mother is still alive, whether she's even being kept on life support. I just pray that Noah is able to see her before she passes away.
Yeah, same. Jerry, thanks for the call. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Pete.
All right, take care. Israel rescued four of its hostages over the weekend from deep inside of Gaza. According to the Washington Examiner, just before noon local time Saturday, the IDF infiltrated two apartment buildings in Nusayrat, neutralized the Hamas fighters inside, extracted the hostages, and then fought their way to a nearby beach where they boarded helicopters bound for Israel. One IDF Special Forces officer was killed during the raid, while there were more than 100 Gazan casualties, many of whom fired weapons and threw rocks at the Israelis as they made their way to the beach for extraction. The home in which they were being held belonged to a Gazan journalist who also served as the spokesperson for the Hamas Ministry of Labor. It's always the ones you least suspect, you know? Man, I could never have guessed that journalist would have been like a Hamas sympathizer, you know, what with being the spokesman for the Hamas Ministry of Labor, because that's the bureaucratic side of Hamas. Hamas claims 274 Gazans died in the operation, but there's no reason to believe that total. As I went over the AP deep dive on their numbers, turned out to all be crap. Their numbers are bunk. They cannot justify or explain their numbers. And the best accounting you can do of them puts it way lower. So, as has been clearly documented before, Hamas constantly inflates the number of casualties in order to elicit sympathy. The IDF confirmed that more than 100 Gazans, both armed Hamas fighters and civilians who were throwing rocks, were harmed in the extraction, and these losses are unfortunate. And then you'll hear people say, well, they were just throwing rocks, which, by the way, if you're throwing them from rooftops on top of soldiers, you can kill them. But also, if you keep pelting them, you can pin them, and then that allows the people with the guns to show up and murder them. See, so it's all part of a simpatico relationship there. The moral blame for those casualties does not fall on the IDF, but on Hamas. It is Hamas that chose to kidnap these civilians, and it is Hamas who chose to hide them in Nusayrat. It is Hamas who is refusing to return the remaining hostages in exchange for a ceasefire. Hamas has the power to end the killing in Gaza and to do it tomorrow. All it has to do is return the hostages. It is Hamas's decision not to return the hostages, and that is causing all of the death. Anti-Israel protesters, meanwhile, surrounded, quite literally, the White House over the weekend. Oh yeah, they were chanting, Hezbollah, Hezbollah, kill another Zionist now. Which, okay, first off, good on them for coming up with a different chant, right? I mean, I'm tired of just hearing the same recycled chants, you know? So this was a new one. I haven't heard this one, but points deducted for not rhyming. All right. They also carried a banner, which is indicative of nothing, as I understand it, when the Islamists do this. The banner said, Jihad of Victory or Martyrdom. So this is a sort of spin off of the no justice, no peace, right? It's an ultimatum in a peaceful way, obviously. Jihad of victory or martyrdom. And so I'm not sure, is this the definition of jihad that means personal struggle? That's what I'm always told. It's very difficult to keep all of the definitions correct, especially when I know that you're allowed to lie to me because I'm not a Muslim. So I'm unclear. Is that jihad? Is that the personal struggle jihad, or is that the jihad where you're like chopping people's heads off and such? Which one was that? Jihad of victory or martyrdom, which means you die in the process. So, I mean, that could go either way. You could be talking about it. It's sort of like the bureaucratic and militant wing of Hamas. You got these two different wings, right? These two different ideas, and they're exactly opposite, right? Exactly opposite. And it always means the peaceful definition when you're talking to your victims. I'm sorry, the non-believers. Sorry. The protesters set off multiple flares as well. And they also defaced and vandalized five statues of American Revolution War heroes in Lafayette Square, right across the street from the White House. They were desecrated or defaced. Just in case you weren't clear about what they think of the great Satan, this is what they think of the great Satan. There's a fella named John Nicosia. He is the president of News Cycle Media, formerly the managing editor at Mediaite and the IJR, the Independent Journalism Review, I believe is what that's called, and also former breaking news editor at the DC Examiner. And he points out in the wake of these protests and the violence and the vandalism and such, he says, since 9/11, 23 years of being strip searched through TSA to get on a plane, the Patriot Act, FISA courts, terror alert codes for 10 years after 9/11, and we end up in 2024 with terrorists in the open across the street from the White House, and our FBI and Secret Service do nothing. No arrests were made, by the way. Oh, they were also holding up a mask of Joe Biden covered in blood, sort of like a reprise on the Kathy Griffin art installation where she was holding up the cantaloupe that was made to look like Donald Trump's head, right? It's like that, but for Biden. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.